Welcome once again to Get Up Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to the book of Romans chapter 4, and we're going to be focusing in tonight on verses 9 through verse 12. Now, what we looked at last week in verses 1 through 8 of Romans 4 was Abraham's salvation. And what the Apostle Paul is doing in the text is showing how that Abraham, of course, was saved. He made it crystal clear, quoting the book of Genesis chapter 15, that Abraham was justified, was declared righteous whenever he believed God. Abraham believed God, it says, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So Abraham was an example of someone that was saved by faith. And again, we pointed out last week that that's how all people have been saved. Anybody that's ever been saved have been saved by faith. The Old Testament saints were saved by faith, and the New Testament saints are saved by faith. It's always been salvation through the same means. The only difference is we look forward, we look back to the Messiah, how he came and died for us on Calvary's cross and rose again the third day. And the Old Testament saints looked forward to that, but both were saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, was saved by faith. And he's used by the Apostle Paul in verses 1 through 8 as an illustration of a man that was saved by faith. Verse 6 of Genesis 15 says, He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, the idea of counted means that it charged righteousness to his account. He imputed to him righteousness. Now, folks, again, that's one of the most important doctrines you can learn, is that you're not saved by your own righteousness, but rather you're saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is how you save. Trusting in him is how you receive the righteousness of salvation. Not saved by yours, you're saved by his. Now tonight, we want to look at verses 9 through 13, as we said, and we're going to title this Abraham's Circumcision. We looked at Abraham's salvation, verses 1 through 8, showed you that he was saved by the imputed righteousness of Christ, justified by faith. Now we're going to look at Abraham's circumcision. The reason why we're going to look at this is because that was a hot issue in the days of the Apostle Paul, in the days of the early church. And the reason why that was is because in Judaism, if you wanted to become a part of Judaism and you was a Gentile, then they would circumcise you. And circumcision made you a part of their religion. You would become a Jewish proselyte. Well, what they were doing then in the New Testament, now that Jesus had ascended back to heaven and he left his church here behind to spread the gospel, what was beginning to happen is some was beginning to teach, and they were Jews, they were teaching that these Gentile converts needed to be circumcised just like they did in Judaism in order to be saved. They needed to believe on Jesus, but at the same time, that was not... that couldn't completely save you. They needed to not only believe on Jesus, but be circumcised after the manner of Moses. So what he's going to do now in Romans 4 is he's going to go back to Abraham again and reveal in verses 9 through verse 12, reveal that Abraham was justified by faith and was saved before he was ever circumcised. So you can see this is a strong argument with regard to salvation without circumcision. Now, as I said, that was a hot topic during the New Testament days. And I want to show you some examples of it in Scripture, show you the dangers of it, because adding circumcision to Jesus is a perverted gospel. Now, we still have perverted gospels today. The only difference is the ad has changed. Add man's works, they'll add ordinance or whatever. They'll add something to Jesus other than faith in Jesus as being the means of salvation. And let me read you an example of it here in Acts chapter 15. We have the council at Jerusalem. And the reason they had this council was to determine, did these Gentile converts at Antioch need to be circumcised, because men had came down from Jerusalem claiming to represent the Jerusalem church and were teaching the brethren, unless they're circumcised after the manner of Moses, they cannot be saved. That's what they were teaching. That's what Acts 15 is all about. There was a big council held in order to determine whether these Gentile converts needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. Well, let me read you a little bit of that. It says in Acts 15, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." So you see, they added circumcision to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you before I read any farther, you can't add anything to Jesus, because what that causes is people to trust whatever the add may be. My friend, if someone asks you, are you saved? You should say, and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you should be able to say, I'm saved because I've trusted Jesus. I've trusted that Jesus died on Calvary for me and rose again the third day. But if you say, I'm saved because I trusted in Jesus and I'm a church member, or I've trusted in Jesus and I've been baptized, or I've trusted in Jesus and I'm doing the best that I can, so you're making adds to Jesus. Now, certainly, after you've been born again, you should be a church member. Certainly, you should be baptized after you've been born again. Certainly, you should do good deeds after that you've been saved. But those things are not the cause of your salvation. They're the effect of it. I mean, if you add anything to Jesus as the cause of your salvation, you must recognize you're adding to Jesus. Jesus must not be part of your salvation. He must be all of your salvation. Jesus is the author of salvation. He begins it and he sees your salvation all the way through to the end. It's all Jesus, not part Jesus. And in the true preaching of salvation, it is always Jesus. Now let me read on. "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them," that means they had a dispute over this. And there's some things not worth fighting for, but I can tell you the gospel is one of the things that is worth making a stand for. And Paul and Barnabas recognized this was a counterfeit gospel by adding circumcision, and they came to the Jerusalem church to get this situation settled. Now, I don't got time to deal with all of Acts 15 because we got our own text here in Romans 4 that we're dealing with, just kind of laying the foundation to what we're looking at, showing you how circumcision was a great controversy during that day, but also at the same time showing to you that Abraham's circumcision came 14 years later after that he was saved. So to teach that circumcision was what saved you contradicted Genesis 15:6. It contradicted what the Old Testament scriptures taught. Abraham was saved by faith in the coming Messiah. He trusted, he believed God, it says, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now listen to what the Jerusalem church says. Here's what they determined how a man was saved. And I tell you what, this is the main distinguishing mark of a true New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not every church is a true New Testament church, but this is the evidence of one that is. If you have this mark, it's one of the main true marks of a true church. Let me give it to you. "And when there had been much disputing, and Peter rose up," Acts 15:7, "and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Did you hear that? That's how you're saved. You hear the word of the gospel, which is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 1 through 4. You hear the gospel and believe it. The word believe means you trust it. Trust in the gospel is how you're saved. The gospel message, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the message by which a sinner is saved that is the full gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. The Jerusalem church believed that people were saved by believing the gospel. Verse 8 of Acts 15, and God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did to us. And he put no difference between us and them. Now listen to this part of it. Purifying their hearts by faith. My friend, that's how your heart gets purified. You see, without Jesus and without faith in Jesus, your heart is corrupt and desperately wicked. And it stands in need of being purified and clean. You see, salvation cleans you on the inside. And when you clean a man on the inside, the outside will come. The problem with religion is what religion does is it seeks to reform a man from the outside. And when you reform a sinner, all you got's a reformed sinner. What you need is a transformation from the inside. And he purifies your heart by faith, not by works, not by your good deeds. He purifies your heart by faith in the gospel message. Verse 11 of Acts chapter 15. We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Well, folks, that was the position of the church of Jerusalem. When you read on down in the text, the statements of the apostles pleased the whole church. And the distinguishing mark of the Lord's church is that it preaches salvation by grace through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's something you have to stand on. And everyone does not preach that message. If it's not all Jesus, my friend, then it's not Jesus at all. And if it's not all grace, then it's not grace at all. I pray that if you're listening to me and you say you're saved, that you base your salvation on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that he died for you and rose again the third day. Now let's go back to our text. Now you understand a little bit about the history of circumcision. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, he called those that added to the gospel as preaching a perverted gospel. When you added circumcision to salvation, you perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any addition to Jesus is a perverted gospel. And folks, a perverted gospel is not the power of God to salvation. Only the pure gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation. Well, now in Romans 4, he deals with Abraham's circumcision. Verse 9 says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only. Now, sometimes the Jews, a Jewish people, was referred to as the circumcision because of the circumcision rite that was given to Abraham that was then to be given to his descendants when they were 8 days old. You can read about that in the book of Genesis chapter 17. This blessedness is talking about justification. Verses 1 through 8 was describing justification as God imputing righteousness without works. God not imputing to you your sin and then imputing your Jesus' righteousness to you. Let me say that a little bit better. In salvation, here's what God does. When you put faith in Jesus that he died on Calvary and rose again, God imputes all your sin to Jesus. And David described that in Psalms 32. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. And in Romans 4:6, he says, he describes the man to whom God imputes righteousness without works. Well, that's exactly what the Lord does in salvation. He charges your sin to Jesus. He charges Jesus' righteousness. Jesus was 100% righteous. He charges that to you. And then you stand before God justified, declared righteous. Now in verse 9 it says, this blessedness is referring to justification. Folks, you need to recognize that if you've trusted Jesus, that you're in a blessed state. How blessed you are if you have justification. If you've been declared righteous because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then you are indeed in a blessed state. Heaven belongs to you. You're saved from hell. You got a home in the Father's house. You're a child of the King with all the benefits that are associated with that. And my friend, what a blessed state it is to be justified. So verse 9, does this blessedness, talking about justification, well, did it come upon blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? Now, the uncircumcision was a reference to the Gentiles. In other words, what he's asking, is only the Jew justified, or does this justification also come upon the Gentile? Well, the answer then to that question, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Now let me explain what all of that means. In Genesis 15 and verse 6, it says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted or imputed or charged to his account righteousness. That's in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. He believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. So Abraham is an illustration of a man saved by faith. We already talked about that in verses 1 through 8. Well, when he was declared righteous in Genesis 15, that was before he was ever circumcised. You see, remember, the big hot topic was that men had to be circumcised that believed in Jesus in order to be a part of the true faith, they thought. In order to be completely saved, that's what you had to do. They were making an ad to faith in Jesus. And Paul's point in the text was that the one that was saved by faith, Abraham, in Genesis 15, 6, when this statement was made about him, it was about 14 years before he was ever circumcised. The rite of circumcision wasn't given to Abraham and his seed till Genesis 17. In Genesis 17 is when the rite of circumcision was given to Abraham to be practiced by his descendants. But the point that Paul is making through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was that Abraham was declared to be justified in Genesis 15. And of course, 15 is before chapter 17. And when you look at the context, it's at least 14 years before he was ever circumcised in Genesis 17. So Abraham was justified before he was circumcised. So to add circumcision and make it a part of salvation, it's to go completely against what happened in the life of Abraham. He was saved by faith in the Word of God. He wasn't saved by circumcision. So the question is asked, how then was this righteousness reckoned? How was it charged to his account? Was it done, verse 10, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? And the answer was in uncircumcision. So what this implies is that if someone was a Gentile, they could be saved by faith in the Word of God, in the gospel, the same as Abraham was. So Abraham not only is the father, so to speak, of all the Jews, but of also all the saved Gentiles. Really, all those that be of faith are said to be descendants of Abraham. In the book of Galatians, we talked through the book of Galatians one time on the radio broadcast, but in the book of Galatians chapter 3, let me read you the same text in a different, just the same things, just with a little more information. Even as Abraham believed God, this is Galatians 3, 6, and it was accounted or imputed to him for righteousness. Know ye not therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's the Gentiles, that's us, that he would justify the heathen or the nations through faith, he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You know how we're all blessed through Abraham? Through Abraham came King Jesus. And when Jesus went to Calvary in John 3:16, the Bible says, God so loved the world. Now the idea of the word world there is Gentile as well as Jew. That would have blown Nicodemus's mind in John chapter 3. They thought the Messiah was just a Jewish Messiah, but he was more than that. He was also to be a Gentile Messiah. And by faith in the Messiah, you become a child of the King. And you're literally, spiritually I should say, a descendant of Abraham. All that be of faith is a child of Abraham. Verse 26 of Galatians 3, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, if ye then be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're blessed also with Abraham. He's our father in the sense that he was saved by faith, and all of his descendants, whether Jew or Gentile, that have had a circumcised heart in salvation, in the new birth, and trust in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. That's who the descendants of Abraham is. And Abraham was saved by faith before he was ever circumcised, 14 years at least. And that's Paul's argument here in this text. So you can't add that as being a means of salvation for these saved Gentiles. And that was a big issue at that day. Now, as I said, we have the same thing today. It's just circumcision isn't the ad. Man's works is the ad. Baptism's the ad. Church membership's the ad. They add all these things in order to be saved. Again, as I said earlier, I'm not saying these things ain't important after you're saved. You just can't trust them for your salvation. You got to trust the gospel. Gospel message is that Christ died for your sins, rose again the third day victorious over sin, death, and hell, and you put your sole hope of heaven in that message. Abraham was saved by faith in the Word. He's an illustration. That's why Paul uses him as an illustration for the people that he was writing to there at Rome. You know what? I'm saved the same way Abraham was saved, by faith in the Word of God, in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. I believed God, and it was accounted to old Jeff for righteousness. That same thing is true of everyone that is born again. So verse 10 says, it was reckoned to his account while he was still in circumcision. Verse 11 says, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. I've done explained the idea in which he's the father. He came before us. He was saved by faith, and all the children of Abraham, so-called, are saved the exact same way. Remember, we looked in Romans 2, verse 28 and 29. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. True Jew, in the eyes of God, is one that's had a circumcision of the heart. They've had a cutting away of their sin because of the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the true Jew. That's the true seed of Abraham. That's the true seed of Abraham, too. So he's the father of all them that believe. Now, circumcision is called a sign and a seal in this particular text, Romans 4 and the verse 11. It's a sign and it's a seal. It's an evidence. It's a proof. When Abraham was circumcised, it was a proof that he'd been saved already. He didn't get circumcised to get saved. He was already declared justified. And the fact that God gave him this right was an evidence that he was already saved. Kind of like baptism. Baptism's the same way. We practice believer's baptism. Before a person can be baptized, they must receive the word, the gospel. And then when they go through baptism, when they're showing forth the message that they trusted that saved their soul. The death, burial, and resurrection. When a baptism's done like it's supposed to be, by immersion, then you have a picture of the death. Under the water is a burial. Out of the water is a picture of the resurrection. That's called the gospel message. It's a picture of it. It's not the gospel, but it's a picture of it. Well, God wants that done. you get baptized because you are saved. That's the reason why he gave him the right of circumcision in the book of Genesis chapter 17. When he was circumcised, the reason he gave that is because he had already been justified. But it was not to get justified. No more than baptism is done to get you saved either. It's what the gospel message is, what saves your soul. Baptism's a picture of it. Let's read on. Verse 12 says, "And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." So we've entitled this message this evening, Abraham's Circumcision. Now, Abraham was circumcised 14 years later, between 13, 14 years, maybe even more, after that Genesis 15, 6 says that he believed God and it counted to him for righteousness. Now, the point that Paul was making for those that were making circumcision a part of salvation was that Abraham was saved while he was still uncircumcised. Now, that's a strong argument because the Bible declares that he was justified when he believed God, not when he was circumcised. Circumcision was just a seal. It was an evidence that he'd already been saved or that it would never have been given to him. His sins had already been forgiven. He had already been declared righteous. It was an evidence that he was already saved, or the Lord would never have had him go through the ceremony at all. So, he was already saved. So you can see what a strong argument that he is using, indeed, in the text. And we can use the same argument down all the way to the day in dealing with the different ads that people give to being saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's just the ads have changed. Let me read you a little bit out of the book of Galatians. We done read some there. And he addresses this in the book of Galatians in several places. Listen to this now. Verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore," Galatians 5, 1, "stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." We're free in Christ. We're free from the condemnation of the law. "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now what he's doing is he's warning the Galatian churches because some had come there and were teaching them that faith in Jesus wasn't enough to save them. They were adding circumcision. Verse 2 of Galatians 5, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, that Christ shall profit you nothing." Verse 4, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." What's it mean to fall from grace? If you add to the gospel, if they added circumcision to Jesus, that's what it means to fall from grace. You leave in the doctrine of salvation by grace. Anytime you add a work to Jesus, you don't have grace no more. Remember I said earlier in the broadcast, if it's going to be by grace, it has to be all by grace. Can't be half by grace. Romans 11 verse 6 said, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. And if it's by works, then it's no more of grace. Now it has to be one or the other. Problem today, people trying to mix it as it was back in Paul's day. And he's addressing it. And he says that Abraham was saved by faith in God's word while he was still uncircumcised. Therefore, the Gentile can be saved by faith in the word, the gospel, without circumcision. Well, folks, I pray if you're listening to me that this message has been a blessing to you. But above all things, I pray that there's been a day and a time in your life when you've seen you as a sinner and trusted Jesus as your Savior. And if you have not, and maybe now for the first time you see your need, Holy Spirit has brought it to your attention. May right now you call upon His name and trust His atoning sacrificial death as the means of saving your soul. Thank you so much for listening.